If you have a Bible with you this morning, you're going to be reading from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. This is the word of the Lord. Entering here, Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul urging the church on to be a people for holiness, to be a people set apart for the work of our great God. Romans chapter 1 at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray, asking God to be with us now in the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would be with us, indeed illumine our hearts and direct our steps. We pray, O God, that your spirit would be here. Oh God, how it is that even reading this text, these dark printed words on these pages would remain there. Only your spirit would indeed quicken with faith our understanding, and quicken with faith mind renewal and a heart that is after following after Christ Jesus, following in discipleship. So be our help and be our strength. Open your word to us. We might rightly see the glorious things that you have for us, and that Christ might receive all the glory. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Robbie, tomorrow I want to make sure that you have your $3 with you, because when the offering plate comes by, I remember that last month we were doing just well with our budget, and we seemed to be a little bit further ahead, and if I happen to have little Caleb with me, and I'm standing in the back and it's time for the offering, would you go ahead and put in our gift? We sometimes think about preparing for the offering as we have in the service, even to come here in just a moment or two. The Apostle Paul here in this passage is not talking about preparing to bring an offering. Perhaps you know Romans 12 fairly well. Paul the Apostle is not instructing us to bring an offering. Rather, the Apostle is instructing us that we might be the offering. We might become that offering for full service to our God. The passage says here, Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now, we know that Paul was writing to both Jews and Gentiles as he wrote this letter there to the church gathered in Rome. And the Jews there in Rome, they knew about the sacrificial animals, those animals to be offered at the tabernacle or the temple. That is, the sacrifice would indeed be brought for an offering. But once again, there's a shocking way that this is put to us here by the apostle. Romans here in chapter 12, Paul is urging us to climb onto the altar, to be the sacrifice. To be the sacrifice. Now, there are many areas in the Christian life where we might apply this basic biblical truth to be a sacrificial offering, a living sacrifice to God. There might be many places in the Christian life to apply this, and if we stay near with the unfolding of Romans 12 here, we may speak of worship. We could certainly do that. We could unfold the matter of biblical worship and being a pleasing sacrifice to God. We might speak indeed of spiritual gifts. We've had a list here in Romans 12 about spiritual gifts and using our gifts as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. I want us to go down to verse 13. In verse 13, we have these words, maybe be given or to pursue or to seek after the matter of the practice of hospitality. So as we think about sacrificial service and sacrificial being a sacrifice of the Lord's praise, I want you to have in mind this matter of application of practicing hospitality. Let's make the charge clear. Let's make the teaching point clear. We are to climb up onto the altar of being an offering unto God as those who are given to hospitality. Two points to teach. We're being called to service, and we're being called to increase in sanctification. We're being called to service in the first place. The passage opens this way, Romans 12 at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are to be about offering our bodies. And this really is shorthand for Paul when he said, even back in chapter 6, about offering the members of our bodies unto God to reckon them dead and to reckon them alive in Christ Jesus. For what? For holiness. When Paul uses the term body there, he's talking about the whole of self, everything. Everything. It's the late Charles Colson, the one of Prison Fellowship, who said that so many of us as Christians treat Christianity like a section in the newspaper. We see Christianity too often, now this is not in Colson's words, my own words, too often we see Christianity as a pull-down tab on the menu of a website. It's a section, it's a button to click on. It's defined, limited, compartmentalized, it's distinct and separate. Over here I run errands, and over here I volunteer in the community, and over here I have my schoolwork, and then and did I tell you I have my Christianity as well? But let's get a little bit closer on this. Let's drive it home a little bit more. This is closer yet. We often think that Christianity is an important aspect, an important part, an important priority. But you see, even these kinds of ways to phrase it, you see, each of these, in these, we're failing to see that Christianity is everything that we are. That's what Paul's driving at. Everything that you are about, who you are, your name, your person, your schedule. He uses this term body, present your bodies there, because he's saying the whole of yourself, who you are by name, who you are with your name and your body by your schedule, by your priorities. This is the backdrop to be thinking about practicing hospitality, to be a lover of a stranger, to befriend others and to cultivate personal relationships. It's all on the backdrop of what an incentive, what a motivation. It's by the mercies of God that we're to offer the whole of ourselves. Paul says that we're to be living sacrifices. And that means there's an association here to breath, to take a breath, literally. There's an association about a sacrifice that is living, that is animated, that which is alive. And what that means is when Paul connects this business about a living sacrifice to what is our reasonable service, this living sacrifice and this reasonable service, what's being wedded together here is this matter of being given over to a life of worship and praise to God. This word here for service is the standard word for worship, praising, devotion. It is life-spilling, life-showing praise. Again, backdrop to the mandate about practicing hospitality. Lord, you're my God. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I belong to you. I name the name of Christ. All that I am, all that I have is yours. I'm eager to give away to those in need. Hospitality. It's this word of life-showing praise, living sacrifices, connected to being that which is reasonable service, reasonable worship. It's Francis Scott Key of the War of 1812 era, of the Star-Spangled Banner, one who wrote the lyrics. We have one of his hymns, Lord, with glowing heart I'd praise thee for the bliss thy love bestows, for the pardoning grace that saves me. Now watch this last verse. Let thy love, my soul's chief treasure, love's pure flame within me raise. And since words can never measure, let my life show forth thy praise. Francis Scott Key has it. By the mercies of God, we're to be the living sacrifice, animated, living in such a way that indeed all of life is there before under God's lordship, all of life being for his worship. Let my life show forth your praise. And we praise God this morning that this is no different for the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did he tell us in John chapter 4? That indeed his food, that which indeed would nourish him, that which would strengthen him, his food, that which would sustain him. You want to talk about the body? You want to talk about the body made whole and strengthened? That is to say, in service to God, to do the food that would propel and nourish our Savior is to do the will of his Father, John chapter 4. I've come to do the will of my Father. Listen to Psalm 40. Listen to Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Here we go. That's that same language. Lord, we're not talking here about bringing an offering to you. Psalm 40 again. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But what? Listen now. My ears you have opened. The body. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. This is our Savior. Words pinned to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to give great glory to God. We're here because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived for us as that one who is the Lamb of God, given all over to his Father for perfect obedience, consistent, ongoing obedience. His indeed is that life that is showing forth praise from start to finish, as we would say. That's why we're even able to talk about practicing hospitality this morning. Christ indeed has made it possible by his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension back to his Father. He is our praise through Christ, by faith in Christ, even where you're sitting this morning. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Right where you're sitting this morning, you can turn your life right now over to Christ. He's Lord. Will you indeed submit to him? He's your provision for full righteousness. Will you indeed say, Lord, it's not mine. I'm filthy rags. I have nothing to offer you. Christ has offered it all. Indeed, he's been the living sacrifice to you. It's by faith alone you may know Christ. And by knowing Christ, you have that living union, that vital union, being in Christ Jesus to be strengthened now for all of life, not just a section in the newspaper. What a wonderful gift salvation is, a wonderful gift that salvation is to us by faith in Christ alone. But this, you see, is all the backdrop. Let's drive it home now to hospitality. Look at verse 13. At the very end, my New King James has given to hospitality. Maybe you have the ESV today. It's the words there, seek to show hospitality. The New Living Translation has be eager to practice. Now watch this. If the glory of God is our aim, and it is, then the very practical service of befriending others and nurturing relationships in the home and practicing hospitality, there must be this notion then that with worship in the context here, it's the attitude, an attitude change that we receive by saying, Lord, you've done so much for me, but beyond that, you've done so much for me, I now, here's the attitude change, I get to befriend others. This notion of being given to, this notion of seeking, this notion of being eager to practice, it's this idea that we're looking for opportunities. We're anticipating opportunities for hospitality. It's not a matter of enduring another Sunday. It's not a matter of even enduring another week. Such notions are to be put to death. We've been made alive and quickened by the Spirit. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now we get the opportunity, and what we're to look for opportunity, anticipating. I can't wait. Let's look at the calendar, or five or six singles get together. Hey, what are you guys doing on Friday? All five or six, let's huddle. Let's have this couple over. Let's have this husband and wife and their children over. We get to express. And in that way, it's an offering of worship. A service unto our God. By the mercies, Paul will say here, mercy paves the way for the mandate. God gives, God supplies, and because God gives and God supplies, we're looking, we're anticipating for ways to bless someone else. In this arena about giving, I like what Randy Alcorn, a writer, author, teacher, conference speaker up in the Portland area, I like what Randy Alcorn says so well here about this whole area of God being the one who gives and supplies. Listen to what he says, a simple line, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. That's it. He's prospered us with grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're eager, we're anticipating, we're expectant, we're thinking ahead, we're seeking to show hospitality because of his great mercy to us. That's our service. We're called to give ourselves away, for he has first given himself to us. Number two, sanctification. This area of growing in holiness. Look at verse 9 and following. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There's almost like a recipe here, almost like a list of just a repetitive nature, a repetitive list of various maxims that we are to be about. Why? Because, you see, together we are showing forth what genuine love is. It's not hypocritical. We're showing forth, indeed, discernment. We're to abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Together we're growing in our affection. And it rightly says that, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Collectively, we're being summoned to sanctification. And I propose to you that practicing hospitality is one of the richest, deepest ways that we grow together, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let me feature just a few ways here where there's great blessing one with another as we minister to each other in hospitality. With even this recipe list in front of us, we won't pick out all of them, of course, but just in the nature of things, with the context here before us, with this recipe, keep in mind our collective efforts indeed can be and are a blessing to others. Here's the first one. When you befriend others, when you have them in, when you meet up with them, when you're concerned about their particular needs, you work at diminishing the hardship and the trouble that the saints face. You work at that. Here in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Then the opening of verse 13, my translation again, is distributing to the needs of the saints. Do you see what this means? Do we want to think about holiness? Do we want to think about sanctification? Do we want to think about adorning Christ more effectively and vividly and visibly? As you give your life to another, as you open up your life to another with hospitality, this is the place where hardships and troubles of the saints will be diminished. We lift burdens through hospitality. We do. We relieve stress. We give hope. That's what's going on in this not lagging in diligence. Some here this morning, you are weak-kneed. Your shoulders are slumping. It should not surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us in the sense that we're aiming to serve Christ hard in this world. But what does hospitality do? Hospitality comes along and says, you know, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you, and we can put that stress in check. We can have prayer together, beyond the meal together. Someone can, you know, two of the fellas can open up the hymnal. Hey, let's sing a couple of hymns together in the home. We can do so. Why? Because it encourages. It brings about a fervency in spirit. It brings about a renewal for service in the Lord. This is one area of application. Hardship and troubles of the saints will be diminished. Here's another area. There's a great encouragement to keep Godward in our lives. To keep Godward. In this recipe, in verses 12 and 13, there's a little bit of an order going on here. A little bit of sequential order in 12 and 13. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. This is Godward language. Rejoice in hope is to rejoice in God. Patient in tribulation. Patience is waiting in the Lord in times of tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's an easy one. That prayer is prayer directed to God. So what's the point? When you distribute to the needs of the saints, when you're eager to show hospitality, though you may say nothing about God, literally, you may not have a devotional time of teaching. You may not open the scriptures. You may not even sing a hymn. The fact that you're opening your life is Godward. The fact that you're opening up your schedule and your time is Godward. Note the order here. To rejoice in hope is to rejoice in God. To be patient in tribulation is to be waiting and patient upon God. To be steadfastly committed and fervent in prayer, continuing in prayer steadfastly, it's this whole idea, God is first. That's our aim. As you are a living sacrifice, you are a praise to God, and as you show forth that living and sacrificial way of life in opening up your home, your apartment to someone else, ultimately you're pointing that person to be Godward, to indeed rejoice in God, to remain steadfast in prayer, to be patient in the midst of tribulation. It's like what Jesus told us in Matthew 5. Let your light shine. There it is. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. They indeed may be pointed to that Godward way, and they are. It's your life to be a covering for theirs, your life to be an opening to theirs. And that's what God has done with us. He's made the way of hope. He's made the way of patience. He's made the way of prayer all open to us by his great gospel work. One last area about growing in sanctification, benefiting others, being a blessing to others in pursuing Christ Jesus. One other area, and that is in hospitality, humility is displayed. Humility is displayed. Verse 10, watch it here. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That's that notion of being humble. That's that notion of coming underneath someone else. You want to bless them. You want to honor them. You want to esteem them. That's what you're doing when you open your home. When you say, hey, it's on me. I've got the coffee next week, and we're going to talk. And that's to say, you know, in the best sense of that, let's visit. Let's meet. When you open things up, when you take the lead, when you take charge there, you're the one showing that kindly affection to one another as a brother. It's closeness. You're giving honor by giving preference to another. That's what you're doing. You're putting on display that the honor is theirs, not yours. You're to follow the Lord Jesus in that you grab that cup of cold water and you grab that basin and that towel and you're there to serve. Humility is on display. Brother, I want to be your servant. Sister, I'm here to serve you. And what a blessing it is. There might be a few here this morning that know one of our elders down in Southern California. I only say that because oftentimes that's maybe a little stretch, not too often, but every now and again he'll write an article in New Horizons. Every now and again his name comes up because of the many, many years of a backpacking trip he did with high school students and still does with high school and college students down in Southern California. I'm speaking of David Winslow. David and Susan Winslow, they live in the Westminster, California area. When David and Susan have folks over to their homes, I don't know if they're still doing this, but for at least a decade or more, when they had folks over to their home, before you would leave that night, David would run out to the garage and he would bring in a pan of paint. And you would actually put your two hands into the paint and then carefully go to a wall and you would put your handprints up on that wall. You walk into their home, like I say, you used to be able to walk in your home, I've seen it. The wall is just covered with handprints. And the point being, the display of being a servant, a display of opening the home for hospitality, befriending others, ministering to others, and then having that literal handprint on the wall which reminds them of the places of service, serving other people with their handprints. And we know the stories about, you know, there are no two fingerprints being the same. But these handprints on the wall, and they would have just underneath them there just a little signature of the person, the family that they had over that day, that evening, that weekend. Humility, service, made visible, serving others, being reminded of the hands of God's people and hands that belong to someone needing preferential treatment, honor, and dignity. Hands belonging to someone who may or may not know the Lord, but the point is being made in God's image. And they're to be served. They're to be served. My life for yours. My life for yours. Humility is on display. At the bottom that Paul is talking about, it is relationship with God and relationship to others. Relationship with God by the mercies. He took that initiative with us. He sought us out by his mercy. He befriended us and was hospitable and is hospitable to us. That's why Jesus came eating and drinking. Eating and drinking with sinners. That's why Jesus was quick to be at the table. That's why Jesus, we find him many times in a home. And to be in a home meant T-I-M-E, time to give himself away for someone else's benefit. You see, he ushered in the kingdom of God by hospitality. That's our God. That's our God. Remember what Leviticus tells us. Leviticus tells us, if a stranger dwells with you in the land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Earlier in that same chapter, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is Israel's history. This is the Lord Jesus and his own earthly ministry to befriend others. This is who our God is. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he opened himself. God so loved the world he opened his house. He gave. Just a couple, three chapters back in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously, gloriously give us all things? Our God is the full supply. It's by his mercies we're to go and serve. All of life for his service, aimed in this sermon at hospitality. And that hospitality to be practiced. Why? To benefit someone else for their encouragement, that the church might grow after Christ, grow in her expansion, that the kingdom of Christ would spread for holiness and for sanctification, that others might be edified and Christ glorified. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we turn to you now, and by faith, we see who you are. We hear of your gracious ways in your word, and we now ask, O God, you would transform our lives for that increase of obedience to follow after our Savior. O Father, even as you have had, you've made all grace abound to us. All that grace in Christ Jesus, may it now abound to others in our lives. Take us, Lord. May we truly love you. May we truly love our neighbor as ourselves. We ask for your strength. We ask for your glory and honor, that Jesus might be praised in all things. In his name, amen.